I'd like to look at a verse in, verses, 1 Samuel chapter 30. A little bit in the life of David. It said, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I was thinking about, have we ever been distressed? I think we've all been probably distressed at different times in our life. We probably never had this extremity where people were getting ready to stone us or thinking about stoning us. You know, David had been, God had chosen David to be the next king after Saul. And David had been fighting the battles. He'd been living among the Philistines because Saul was trying to kill David. And the preceding chapter before this, the Philistines are going to battle with Israel, and David was going to join them. But the man that had contact with David, or one of the leaders, told them that when they saw David there, they were very displeased because they knew he was an Israelite and they knew that they were going to battle against the Israelites. And he said, "The lords of the Philistines, they don't want you to go." And David said, "Well, why? What have I done?" And he said, "Nothing. You've been just and good in my sight. Nevertheless, the lords of the Philistines don't want you to go to battle." So it was about a 3 days journey back home. And when he gets back home, he finds the city burned. He finds his wife are gone, the children are gone, and that would definitely be a very low point in a person's life. It would probably be, that's about pretty much to the bottom, as bottom as you can get. And they wept until there was no strength more to weep. There was no weeping left. But this little phrase here says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." You know, I've had this verse come to me at different times in my life. I've had, usually at times when I never been anything like this, I've been distressed before. I've been in some difficult places at times, nothing like, quite like this. But these little words that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When he wasn't getting any encouragement from his circumstances, he wasn't receiving any encouragement from his surroundings, and the people, they were all grieved and they felt like stoning him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That was a wonderful thing for him to do. And I'm not for sure, it doesn't really tell us how David did that, how he encouraged himself. Perhaps it was reflecting on the promises of God. Perhaps it was remembering the past blessings that God had given to him. Perhaps he remembered the victory that God gave him over Goliath, a great victory in front of all Israel. Perhaps he remembered that. Perhaps he remembered how the Lord had called him and chosen him, how Samuel had anointed him to be king. It doesn't really say how David encouraged himself in the Lord, but I know there's, seems like there's just times when it looks like God is not there. Brother Galen mentioned that, feeling all alone. There's times that we maybe feel that God has forsaken us, or God's not listening, or God is not paying attention. And I'm sure David probably had a lot of those thoughts as he looked and saw the smoke of the city where he was living, saw the smoke, the smoldering, the ashes, all the destruction, and all the spoils was gone, their herds and the sheep and cattle, all that they had, and their sons and daughters, it was all gone. He probably had that little question, why? W-H-Y, that little word, why, that can cause us many, many worries and troubles. But through it all, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He chose to believe in the love of God. He chose to believe. He just encouraged himself in the Lord. And I think there's times that we have to do that too. There's times that we need to just encourage ourselves, get along with God, and seek the Lord. In verse 7 it says, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." You know, David took time to inquire of the Lord. He took time to seek out the mind of God. What would the mind of God be in this situation? And that was a very, very valuable thing for him to do. You know, it would have been a sad, not only for him, but for his wives and for his children and all their children that was taken captive, if David wouldn't have encouraged himself in the Lord, it would have made it their lives very, very difficult. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he inquired of God. He began to seek the Lord. And the ephod is what the high priest wore. I'm not for sure. Maybe David felt that that was a part of his connection to God. The high priest wore the ephod when he went into the tabernacle to do service to the Lord. Adam Clark didn't really know if David wore the ephod himself or if it was Abiathar, the priest, that he had, you know, to do it, to inquire. But that was a valuable thing for David to do. He encouraged himself in the Lord. That gave him hope. That gave him strength. That gave him something to move forward with. And then he was able to inquire of God, and God told him to pursue after this truth. I want to read now here in verse 9. It says, "So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him." And I don't know how the Lord answered prayer for them, but he gave them an answer. It says, "And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook. They just got through with this long 3 days journey. And then they were very grieved in heart and spirit, and they wept. It doesn't say how long, it just said till they couldn't weep anymore. And then they take off. They take off to fight this battle. And they're tired. They're weary and they're worn. And 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook. They were so tired and faint. So David loses 200 men. He's got 400 men. In verse 11 it said, "And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights." Now this guy was in bad shape too. We'll read on. It said, "And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick." So his master just leaves him. And they come across him. You know, it was the Lord. You believe the Lord did that? I believe the Lord caused that thing to happen. "And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And it says, verse 14, he said, We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." So David knows he's on the right track. "And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." The Lord gave him 400 men. There was 400 of them that had escaped. But God gave them a great victory. There had to be celebration. There had to be thankfulness. All the wives and their children, I'm sure they were glad to see their families. There was a reunion of families here. They were very, very grateful that God. But this wouldn't have happened if David hadn't encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself when it looked like there was no encouragement coming from the north, the south, the west, the east. It looked like everything was against him. Looked like God was against him. But we know the Lord wasn't against him, but it felt that way. It felt like God was against him. I think sometimes I have felt that way. Maybe your faith is a lot stronger than mine. But sometimes it feels like the Lord's against you. David felt that. He was anointed of God. He was blessed. You think Jesus felt like things were against him at times? I'm sure he did. He probably felt difficulties. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There's times that we do feel forsaken. It's our natural feelings. It's not really true that God forsakes us. The Lord does allow things into our lives that test our faith, that test our consecration, that test our, you know, the Lord just allows things to touch us in our lives. And we wonder why, but I believe God has a purpose in things. I believe the Lord has a purpose in those things. And David was able to recover everything that was lost. Just like the Lord had told him, you'll recover all. And David followed. And I'm sure he felt weak. I'm sure he felt tired. But the Lord gave them a wonderful victory. And I think sometimes if we lose battles, a little lesson that we get out of this too, sometimes if we lose a battle, that we, maybe we lose something that the enemy takes from us. I believe the Lord wants us to pursue and gain back anything that the enemy steals from us in our spiritual life. We want to pursue and gain back. If we have fallen, if we come short of what God wants, the Lord wants us to get back up. I think about that one scripture. He said, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." And I'm thankful today the Lord appreciated the Sunday school this morning. I believe the angel of the Lord does encamp about his people. And he does help us to get back up when we've made a failure in life. Maybe it's a severe failure. Maybe it's where we come short. The Lord doesn't, we don't want to throw up our hands and quit and say there's nothing to it. And I don't feel God. I don't see God. I don't know. But we want to do what David did. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I know if we begin to read, I know the Old Testament has many victories that God, I get a blessing just reading the Old Testament. This is one of them where the Lord, they didn't understand exactly what happened, but the Lord gave them direction and they followed and God gave them the victory. And I believe the Lord can do that for us. But we want to encourage ourselves in the Lord when we have to, when we need to. We want to encourage ourselves in God and not allow those things to drive us away from God. We want to allow those things to bring us closer to God. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. There's a verse, Psalms 111, I wanted to get. Psalms 111. It says, praise ye the Lord in verse 1. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. I was thinking here about these verses. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. You know, the Lord wants us to remember his works. He wants us to remember what he's done. There's another verse in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. I'll get that one. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, it says in verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. You know, he's telling us to remember how the Lord has helped you, how the Lord has led you, how the Lord, back here when they were coming out of the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan, they didn't go into the land of Canaan when God wanted them to. That was a lesson for them too. But He allowed things there, it said, to humble them. And I believe that today too. I believe the Lord allows things to humble us. But He's also trying to teach us lessons. He's trying to help us to be able to gain insight and to learn something that He's trying to teach us. And He allows these things to touch our lives to help us. But He wants us to remember these things. He wants us to remember what He's done. And I think about the things that He's, different places, you know, when they crossed the Jordan River, He told them to put stones up there. He wanted them to remember it. He wanted them to remember, you know, when you're in trouble, when you're facing the stoning, so to speak, like David was, you're facing difficulty. It's easy to forget. It's easy to, in our minds, we become so caught up with our present situation that we overlook all the things that God has done in the past to help us, to call after us, to teach us. The Lord works in people's lives to teach us how to live for Him and how to serve Him and how to honor Him with our lives. So we need to remember, these things. God wants us to remember. There, Jeremiah in Lamentations, he said, "When I remember these things, I have hope." Jeremiah went through great trouble, great difficulty, but when he saw, and he thought his end had come. When they put him down in the dungeon, he thought that was the end of him. God had other plans. It wasn't the end. When Jonah told him to cast him overboard, he might have thought that was the end of him. That wasn't the end. God had other plans. God had the big fish there to swallow Jonah up when the men cast him over the board of the ship in the storm. I'd been a little bit afraid to mention that, wouldn't you? The storm is raging, you're on this ship, and it looks like there's no wind. They tried everything they could do. They threw out the wares, they lightened the ship. You know, sometimes in our battles we try to figure things out too, don't we? Also, we try to figure, what's going on? What can I do? Trying to lighten the ship, so to speak. Finally, he came to the point, he said, just cast me overboard. He fell into the hands of the Lord, didn't he? It said the Lord prepared a great fish. When he thought it was all over with, the Lord didn't have that in mind at all. The Lord is very gracious, and we want to remember these things that God has done. You think about Daniel in the lion's den. They put him down because of his faith. They put him down in the dungeon so he could become food for the hungry lions. But he said, the angel of the Lord closed the mouths of the lions, and they brought him out unharmed and unscathed. We want to remember the works of the Lord. He mentioned, he said, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. He wants us to remember what He's done, His power and His might. And He wants that to be an encouragement and a strength to us. And I believe David did that. I believe David brought to mind the things. I believe he reflected and pondered You know, what were his options? To get stoned? To not do anything? To just give it all up? You know, sad to say, in life sometimes people do. Sometimes people come to the place where they give God up. They quit. They give up their faith. They give up trying to live for God, trying to serve Him. They throw in the towel. They come to the place that just looks so dark. It looks so bleak. They say, what's the use of trying anymore? But that's a time for us to encourage ourselves in the Lord. It's not a time to quit. It's a time to encourage ourselves in God. Reread the promises of God. You know, one of the verses there that we read in Psalms, it said, He is mindful of His covenant. You know, when we live for God, when we serve, we've given our hearts and lives to Him, we enter into a covenant with Him, just like a marriage, where you make some vows, a covenant. God makes some vows. But unlike people, God is faithful to keep His promises, to keep His vows. He will, if we hold on to faith, and I know we can get in some low, we can get into some very low places. I remember reading about Uncle Tom and Uncle Tom's Cabin, how the slave owner whipped him almost in a hairbreadth of his life, and he was so low in his faith. He was struggling to hold on to faith. He was struggling. And I believe one night he had a dream, and he saw, I don't know if it was an angel or what it was that he saw, but he saw an angel, or he saw the Lord, and it sparked courage, it sparked a hope, it sparked something. It encouraged his faith, and he was able to hold on. And we want to do that also. We want to hold on to God, hold on to faith. One place it said, hold fast at confidence, hold fast your profession, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You know, if we was to if we were to quit, what would it be? If I give up faith in God, what do I have? I know this world doesn't satisfy. It didn't satisfy me before I got saved. It doesn't, riches and position and all those things don't satisfy the hunger of the heart. But if I give it up, then what happens? Then I lose in the long run. I lose. Because we're in this not just for this life, but we're in this to make heaven our home. We want to fight a good fight. We want to finish our course. We want to keep the faith. We want to hold on to faith. And Paul testified to that. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And I believe we can too, by the grace of God. But there's going to be times that we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Encourage. Set your heart. Set your eyes. You know, I like that scripture. It's about Elijah when he was running. He just had a marvelous victory. The Lord answered his prayer by fire. He came down and he consumed the sacrifice that Elijah made. But what happened? He forgot. Because of Jezebel's threat, and she probably would have been good on it, he got scared. And he ran. He fled. And he forgot what God had done. But in the cave, he just, here he is all alone. And he feels like he's the only one left. And the Lord talks to him and begins to speak to him and begins to tell him what to do. Gave him direction. And I believe today the Lord can do that and will do that for us too. But we need to hold on to believe in the promises. You know, it said of Abraham, it said, who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope, it looked like it wasn't going to work out. It looked like God's promise wasn't going to be true. It looked like it wasn't going to be fulfilled. Who against hope believed in hope. And it was fulfilled in him. God has made a covenant with his people, and he will keep his covenant to the very end. He'll be faithful to his people. We're going to be tried. We're going to be, and Jesus told us that. He never promised that everything was going to go our way. He never said everything would go our way. He said we was going to have trouble and tribulation. But I want to encourage us this morning that when we get in those places, that we'll encourage ourselves in the Lord, and that we would seek God and seek after him. And the Lord will, he'll bless us if we hold on to faith and hold on to him. I appreciate your attention this morning.